Welcome back to Ridiculous Ramblings, loves. I'm your host, Amy. It's Wednesday. Oh, we're halfway there. Oh, living on a prayer. I hope everyone's had a great week so far. I want to take a minute and give a special shout out to my little cousins, Eli, Tony, and Joe. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to the show. Love you guys. Now, let's get to it. On today's episode, we're going to do a new segment on food and restaurants. We eat at some chain restaurants, but we like to support local businesses, especially with Sean, hey babe, love you, being from a culinary background. If you have any local restaurants you would like to recommend, hit me up at ridiculousramblings@gmail.com. We're going to be giving our restaurants scores of dough goods. How dough good are they? Sean's cousin Lindsay, hey girl, hey, has a little cousin that inspired the dough good phrase. Lindsay's niece Hunter was maybe around 4, and it was during Halloween and they were trick-or-treating. Hunter was talking about all the kinds of treats that she was getting, and cheese balls came up, and she put her little hand with a full stop and said, cheese balls are dough good. And it was so funny, it just stuck. Speaking of Sean, ladies and gents, welcome to the show, Chef Sean. Woo! Hey, good looking. What's cooking? Why don't you give our listeners a little intro into who you are and how you became Chef Sean? Aw, he's a little shy, guys. Let's give him a round of applause. Come on. Woo! Sean!
Oh, who am I? What am I? Why am I? Chef Sean, it's a funny moniker, and I do appreciate it. My culinary journey started in 1998. Oh my goodness, 1998.
Ooh, I was just a baby.
Some people are just itty-bitty babies. I accepted a job to be a barista for Marsh Supermarkets in Indianapolis, Indiana. The store and the company were going through major remodels to incorporate upscale chef-inspired concepts that included fresh in-house roasted coffee beans, an espresso bar, gourmet chef-prepared meal options in their deli, world-class cheeses and patisseries. The chef that trained me, who would become a lifelong best friend, hey, GF.
What up, G?
He took me under his wing to teach me everything about coffee and espresso and the skill of being an artisan crafter of gourmet coffee. And I very quickly became the espresso bar manager. And GF saw that there was a little something underneath that, as in his words, said, I had a natural ability for the science of food, and he pushed me to pursue that path. He sponsored me for trainings that the Culinary Institute of America were doing through the company, and I was totally like a sponge. I dove deep into every single book I could find, any sort of video that I could find, and mind you, this is well before YouTube. So it wasn't like it was just at the tip of my finger. But I really wanted to learn everything I could about the culinary arts. After several years with Marsh, I left. I moved to Texas. I worked for Whole Foods Market. I managed prepared foods for several of their locations. I became an opening store specialist and opened more stores than I can count all throughout the Southwest and Florida, and eventually ended up at their flagship store in Austin, Texas. I was the lead there for several years, and then became a culinary coordinator for the regional team, did recipe and product development, and I never really thought that food would be my career, but it was always a passion. And all these many years later, while my professional life is now more focused on operations of grocery stores, I still love to prepare and, more importantly, eat delicious scratch-made food.
And I have to say, I'm a huge fan of your passion for food. Absolutely amazing. I fell in love with this man over some cupcakes, you guys, and it was the rest is history. And, you know, I have a little question for you.
Yes.
You were a barista?
Yes.
All this time, I've schlepped to Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts or had a cup of instant coffee, and I've got a professional living right underneath my roof.
Well, you know, if we had about $60,000 to throw into an espresso machine, boy, I could knock some crazy shit out.
That's true. So, babe, can I ask you a few questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. Question one. What inspired your passion for cooking?
Oh, you know what? And this will cause much debate in my family, because if you ask my mom and...
Hi, Mom. Love you.
Aunt, and even my Uncle Kevin, they will tell you that their mother, my grandmother, was not a great cook. But I have very fond memories. One of her chicken and noodles, and being able to help her do that when I was like 4 and 5 years old. And also in the winter, she would make egg noodles and to sell at the church bazaar. And so we had this tiny little like crank press, and we would like make the dough and roll it out, and we would cut them, you know, roll them and then cut them. And we had all of these tables that were lined with wax paper in the garage where it was nice and cold. And we would put these noodles down and bag them up and sell them. And while I'm positive that my recollection of her ability to cook is probably jaded and seen through like a golden lens, because again, to hear my mom and everyone that grew up eating her food all the time, they're like, yeah, no, she could make a dessert like nobody's business, but boy, she could not cook food. Man, I loved that, and I think that really sparked something for me.
I love that. You couldn't tell because you had your grandma glasses on.
That's right.
That's what it was. What is one of your favorite meals to prepare?
Lasagna.
And speaking from personal experience, his lasagna is pretty legit.
Yeah, I think, and probably the reason it's one of my favorites is it's a comfort food. I've yet to meet anyone that doesn't like lasagna, and even like the most, I don't want to say most, even the pickiest eater, and you know this from experience.
I do.
Is like, oh, damn, that's good. I like that.
So like every time we have like a family gathering and Sean brings in a large size bag to carry something, my Uncle Ira's like, oh, you got some lasagna in there? And he's a picky eater, and he absolutely loves Sean's lasagna. Why local restaurants over chain restaurants?
Well, first, I love to support local, right? The people that own and operate them live here. They employ people that live here, and I just think you're going to get a more genuine and real food experience. I mean, in my professional career, I've always said, like, you know, McDonald's is the number one hamburger chain in the world, not because they have the best hamburger, it's because it's consistent. You're going to get the same Big Mac you get in Indiana that you get in California, that you get in Australia. But there's something about that unique food that you can only get at that one spot, at that one restaurant. And it's about, you know, food to me, food's almost, it's more emotional than it is anything else. And we can get way deeper into that later. I mean, that's why I love those. And I'm pointing at a box of chocolates from my hometown.
Oh, gosh.
Food is an emotional experience, but there's something about experience, something that's unique. And you don't find that at Chili's. Although you do find those cheese sticks that look damn amazing.
Oh my God, we so have to go there. What? Sorry, I just lost my train of thought here. You didn't work at a Chili's. You worked at an Applebee's, didn't you?
I did. I was a server for Applebee's, and then I did prep, and then became a trainer for Applebee's, and did that all within about a year and a half.
Okay. Totally different restaurants, totally off topic, but I mean, that's kind of what the theme of this podcast is. So we went this weekend to the Crooked U. I don't know if anybody's familiar with them or not, but
they're in South Bend.
They are.
Indiana, for those of you in Australia and Russia that are listening. Or San Francisco.
Shout out to San Fran. Love you guys. So what was your favorite thing that we had there?
I'm familiar with the Crooked U. The first time I went there was, 7 years ago. And found them because they had vegan options, and I was dining with a vegan, but they also had like smoked brisket and other items, and I actually fell in love with the sandwich they don't offer anymore. So I'm going to talk about that for a half second, which is they smoked a loaf of bologna, sliced it thick, pan fried it. Toasted it, and with a pimento cheese. It actually shouldn't even. It was a peppadew cheese spread. So think pimento cheese, but with peppadews. Man, it was amazing, and I loved it. Sadly, no longer on the menu, but it's bologna, and I can see why it went away. So your question was, what was my favorite thing? Entree or appetizer?
Let's explain how we do date night. Why don't you give them a rundown of how we normally do?
Well, so when we have a date night and the kiddos aren't around and it's just the two of us. we maximize our experience. So there's always one, definitely always one, usually two appetizers. We do an entree each, and then we end up splitting those and each kind of eating off of each other's plate, and because it's like, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this, and we can't quite decide, so we kind of settle on two things that we both want to try, and we do that. If I'm really torn, I will ask the server, you know, hey, this or that. You know, a couple of cocktails, signature to the restaurant, and dessert if there's room.
But we're and if not there's afraid. Not, we'll take it home with us.
Yeah, and we're absolutely not afraid to bring home leftovers, because a couple things. It makes for a great midnight snack, lunch the next day, and usually the food we pick out, if the kids are back home, they're not going to eat it anyway.
That's true, because it's not, you know,
It's not chicken nuggets.
It's not Takis. It's not Hot Pockets. It's grown up food. I gotta say, my favorite thing hands down was the pork rinds. Like, the fries almost won, but like that fresh lime juice over those pork rinds with that tahini. Oh my god, I'm like literally drooling.
And the pork rinds, they come out, they're popping and sizzling, like they're fresh out of the oil.
They're fresh. They're not like from the gas station, you know, that has the little packet of hot sauce in it. Because, you know, if you know, you know. You know, I know everybody gets hyped when they see a Dorito with all the cheese powder or Cool Ranch dust on them. But have y'all ever grabbed a pork rind and it still has some fat on it? I mean, oh my God. All that porky, fatty deliciousness. Oh my God. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think the pork rinds, and I knew those were a winner. The first time I had those was actually the day before we became official, because my family was up visiting for St. Patrick's Day, and we were trying to figure out some lunch items, and me and my Uncle Kevin, what up, UK?
Whoop, whoop.
We went to go pick up food, and we were waiting, and I said, well, let's grab an appetizer. I was like, oh, let's try the pork rinds. And so we sat there. We ate an entire tray of pork rinds and then got another order to take back. And I was like, yeah, these are fantastic.
And let me just tell y'all. So pork rinds, fantastic. But then it's like this pimento type cheese. Pepperdew goes with it. And, you know, to touch back on that bologna sandwich. So, for all my southern hillbillies out there that migrated up to the north with the Yankees, I don't know how much better it can get when you just combine, you know, pork rinds and pimento cheese. I'm going to call it pimento cheese. Pimento cheese and bologna and pimento cheese. I mean, it's kind of like some of our staples.
Yeah. Well, I also want to give a shout out to our server. She was amazing. I wish I could remember her name. I don't.
I know her t-shirt was cool.
because I was torn. There was a pastrami sandwich, and then there was a brisket melt sandwich, and I'm like, I don't know which way to go. And she was like, she straight up was like, yeah, you want the brisket melt, but then just get like a quarter pound of pastrami on the side. Yeah, that was the way to go. That pastrami, like, melt in your mouth. Delicious. Oh, so good.
Dog good. We did have a nice little spread. Like we mentioned, for our appetizer, we had the pork rinds. But we also had elote hush puppies, and you guys, they were fantastic. They had this crema drizzle on them with a little sprinkling of cilantro, some pickled Fresno peppers. I mean, oh my God, they were dog good. For our main courses, we ordered the rice noodle salad. And as Sean mentioned, we had the brisket melt. It's made with birria meat and smoked Gouda and French fries. So you're like, oh, you guys got French fries. But dude, we upgraded, and these are fried in beef fat. Like I said, it was a close toss up between the fries and the pork rinds, but I think the pork rinds just edged them out just a smidge. And I think it's all thanks to that lime and that tahini.
Yeah, I think everything we had was fantastic. Oddly, the one thing we didn't do was any desserts.
Nope, and I think that's a first for us, that we haven't gotten, like, you know, a slice of something to go.
We did partake in some cocktails.
Of course, because we're fancy.
They are microbrew. So, beers, stouts, ciders, wine.
Adult slushies.
Adult, yeah.
Which I low-key regret now not getting. It was, what was it, blackberry?
It was a blackberry slushie.
A blackberry slushie. And I opted for a beer because, trying to cut out the carbs wine and the sugar. Oh, I'm sorry. It was called barley wine. And, you know, everything about our dining experience was pretty fantastic. And I'm sorry if the beer was not. It just... Well, why don't you tell them what you thought it tasted like?
Well, so I will start with yours. So you got the Majestic 12 English Barley Wine. And you took a couple sips and you really didn't say anything about it. And so we were finishing up dinner and I looked over and I was like, And you were like, yeah, no, not for me. I will say, my experience is, had we told the server, hey, this isn't really our jam, we're not digging this, they would have replaced it. They would have made it right. We didn't say anything because it was the end of the evening. It straight tasted like Robitussin.
And I was so disappointed because it was like boasting how it was supposed to have like this coffee flavor, yeah, with like vanilla kind of toffee. And it it really didn't.
Now,
you know what it kind of reminded me of? Like some really funky ass cream soda.
Oh. Yep. No,
like over seltzered cream soda.
Yeah, but it definitely had that Robitussin kind of funk to it. Like I was not a fan. I took one drink and I set it down. I was like, oh wait, hang on. And I went to take a second sip.
You know it's bad, like, if Sean only takes one sip.
And I went to take a second. I was like, no, I'm good. And I put the glass back down. Now, I will say, I had the oatmeal stout, and it was malty and rich and had amazing, like, this kind of fluid chocolatey vanilla flavor with a hint of oat. It was amazing. I would absolutely get that again. And like I said, don't, you know, even though the Majestic 12 English Barley Wine, it wasn't our jam, maybe it's yours. Check it out. Ask for a sample, because they do that. You can say, hey, I'd like to taste it before I commit. And if you don't dig what they like, they're super chill and they will replace it. But that was the only thing. It wasn't our thing. Might be yours.
Do you think they call it the Majestic 12 because it had like 12% alcohol in it? It was like a crazy amount of alcohol.
Yeah, it was also 12% ABV. So, but yeah, it was.
After a couple of sips, she won't care that it tastes like Robitussin. Oh, but yeah, you guys should definitely check them out. So, Sean, how many dough goods would you give Crocadillo?
Out of 5, I'm going to give it 4.5 dough goods.
I'm right there with you. Like, had the beer been a little bit better, I probably would have gave it a 5 dough goods. But I think 4.5 is, I think it's justified.
And this is our first time scoring, so the scoring may become more stringent as we do this more often.
Agreed. And also, I mean, we did not check these out in the same weekend. We do everything in, well, some things in moderation. So we did check out CJ's Pub, what was it, about a week ago, a week or two?
Yeah, it was about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
So we decided to check them out after we saw them on Facebook, I think it was,
yes.
Boasting the best burger in Michiana. So CJ's Pub is downtown. It's got a pretty chill vibe and a good mix of folks that come in there, for a cold beer and a hot burger. And I can see why they're so proud. I mean, they have, what did you say? Like 45, they got 45 varieties of burgers. And they're like, they're massive. That's definitely, that's a take a nap burger.
Oh yes.
It's also and I think you had mentioned it's like a burger fresh off of somebody's grill, like at a barbecue.
It was, so I was busy sending pictures to family and friends. And I was like, this is the best burger at the diviest of bars. Cause it, I mean, let's, I don't know what it is. It's a divey
bar. It is. It's a divey bar.
But again, our service was great.
Mm-hmm.
We got appetizers, we got onion rings, and we got
jalapeno poppers.
And the poppers were kind of,
they were your standard poppers.
Onion rings I thought were fantastic.
Oh, the onion rings were absolutely fantastic.
And we're looking at the burgers, and beyond like your normal offerings, there's, well, there are 45.
you can get some grilled chicken.
They had chicken?
They did. You were so busy looking at all the burgers. They do have chicken. They have some fried chicken options. They had some grilled chicken options. I think they had some fish options too.
I'm looking at the menu right now. It says 10 selections of grilled chicken made your way. 45 burgers or 10 chicken.
I just couldn't steer you away from the beef.
You should be pun-ish.
I should.
I'm staring at the menu the entire time, and, you know, Amy knows what she wants. She orders it, and she got the...
Oh, I got the PB&J burger. There was no jelly on this. The J was for jalapenos. It was... Well, it was like the enormous burger with, I don't know what, like half a pound of this absolutely, I'm thinking of the bacon and I'm losing my track of mind. It had like six strips of bacon on top of this massive burger. And then it had peanut butter and jalapenos. And oh my gosh, I did not think that peanut butter and jalapenos would go so good together. I mean, I know that barbecue chips and peanut butter go really well together. And oh, how about a burger with peanut butter, barbecue chips, and jalapenos on it? Now that would be so good.
You know, you probably could special order that.
I probably could. It was pretty fantastic.
Because we did get chips.
We did. You get some good old Lay's potato chips on, a great value paper plate. But,
I'm here for
it. I don't have to be fancy. I can go for a good greasy burger on a paper plate, you know, at home or out at a restaurant. I'm not a fancy girl. Oh, and if you're a ranch person, I should probably mention that their ranch is pretty tasty.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with ranch. So, it was good. I had some with the poppers, and
I especially liked it because it wasn't Hidden Valley. Yes. I'm a little bit of a ranch snob, and I don't see the hype about Hidden Valley.
It was too thick.
Yeah. She was thick. Oh, she thick. Like the burgers.
Holy cow, those burgers.
They were massive.
I wouldn't even say it felt like they came off of a grill. It felt like they were cooked in a cast iron skillet.
Yeah, they...
They had a nice char, a very nice caramelized crust on them. They... seasoned well, and as I'm about to order, Amy, without missing a beat's like, "You're getting that blue cheese burger, right?" I was like, "Yep," and mine was just blue cheese and bacon, and it was outstanding.
All the bacon,
all blue cheese, and when it arrived on the Great Value paper plate. The first thing, and how I judge a burger, I went to go pick it up. I'm like, they didn't even toast the bun. Like, it was like a cold bun from like the local grocery store. Like, not even toasted, buttered, nothing.
We're bougie. We toast our buns.
And, well, yeah, toasted buns are.
they are a game changer.
They are a game changer. And I'm like, oh man, this can't be. And I took one bite and I went, yeah, I'm totally going to overlook this. So I'm going to give it 3.5 dough goods, toast them buns, and you know what, CJ's Pub, you can bump up to 4. But you only get 3.5 right now. Toast them buns. That's all I got to say. But service was amazing. Food was amazing. Super reasonable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For a burger that size.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, 110%.
And I'm going to say that, honestly, anything less than three dough goods is, you know, anything less than that is kind of still kind of worth your while. 3+, definitely check it out. So I give it 3.5.
And I'll agree with that. I would do a 3.5 dough goods. You know, something that I was thinking about when you were talking about toasted buns. I never really understood the hype. I'm like, it's just a bun. It's just a vessel for the burger to get to the mouth. But it does serve a purpose when you toast it. One, functionality.
Structural integrity.
Presentation. And functionality. All that grease, all that mayo, that ketchup, all that deliciousness. If it's toasted, it takes a while to make the bun get soggy.
Yeah.
But if you go in there, just, you know.
If you're raw dogging it with your bun, like, you've got a big mess pretty quick.
I hope you have a toaster oven because we will be toasting our buns before we partake of your burgers. Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, all in all, I think check them out. They're pretty good, you know. And the nice thing is it's date night material kind of places, but it's also family friendly.
Yeah. Well, except for CJ.
Well, yeah, except CJ. Monday through Thursday, I would say family friendly. Friday, Saturday, yes, maybe not so much. Wow. Oh, and if you go there. They have a trivia machine on the bar. Let me know if you are able to beat Cupcake Man's score. I would love to know that. Because he's a pretty smart dude. Just saying.
I'm sorry, who?
Cupcake Man? Well, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think I've said more than enough.
Now that everybody wants pork rinds and burgers at, you know, like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday. Hey, but at least maybe it'll give you an idea for what you're going to have for dinner tonight.
There you go.
It's always a thought. It's always a thought. I'm always here to help. Well, I think that about does it for today. I hope wherever you're listening from, you're doing well. And speaking of, you know, giving out things that are dough good, I'd love to tell you you did dough good by sending me a message with either a comment, topic for discussion, or just a hey girl, hey, to ridiculousramblings@gmail.com. I want to thank Sean for joining me today for this episode of our podcast. Not like he really has a choice. I mean, I know where he lives. Thank you, babe. I appreciate it. I appreciate all your food expertise, Chef Sean. Until next time. Okay, love you.